Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. And in this podcast, I'll introduce you to my updated website, and I'll explain why I have elephants in my logo. But instead of talking about families and talking about solving problems in families, I'll tell you a bit about me personally and some things I care very deeply about. And that's why I'm calling this podcast, Meet the Real Neil D. Brown. I grew up in a family where my parents and my brother were in a rather profound control battle. I didn't know it at the time. I just wished that everyone could be more reasonable and less angry, and I just wanted to have more fun. It left me feeling less than or not as important as other people. I became the good kid and a people pleaser because I got good at dealing with angry people. Now, all of this, of course, at the cost of not knowing my own feelings or how to deal with my own feelings. Now, there were many wonderful elements in my family life and childhood that is wonderful, and I have wonderful memories. But the control battle in my family was painful and destructive, so I know about control battles at many levels. In college, I studied psychology, not because I necessarily wanted to be a psychologist. It's just that I found psychology fascinating. And when I graduated, I joined VISTA, which is Volunteers in Service to America. It was a domestic version of the Peace Corps, where you go into these economically challenged communities and provide support. I worked with a Head Start program in southern rural Colorado in a Hispanic community, and I stayed in the area working as a teacher in a school for developmentally delayed children, teens, and young adults. I got a tremendous amount out of living and working there, and it was there that I discovered something important and influential to the rest of my life. And when I talked to the parents of the students and told them how wonderful their child is and how much we like their child at school, and showed them their work and how good their work was, the child perked up, and instead of being unmotivated or depressed, they perked up and came to school more excited and more engaged. And then I learned there was a field of psychotherapy called family therapy, and this was new to me. And I decided, wow, that sounds like what I'm doing. And off to graduate school I went. Now, one only learns so much in school. The real learning about how to be a therapist comes from trainings and practice and trying to improve constantly. So I studied family therapy, which is a way of thinking about and working with families that was championed by Salvador Minuchin. And Dr. Minuchin died this last year in his late 90s, and I needed to grieve his passing because I had adopted him as my professional father. And now, of course, my own father, was an aeronautical engineer, my father died a number of years ago in his 90s, he loved to tell stories about how when told a problem was impossible to solve, he would design and build an instrument that proved them wrong. He had a dozen stories about that. And Dr. Minuchin was similarly creative and would challenge himself and others to move and change. When everyone else was stuck, he saw the way forward and challenged change. And that's a value that I hold very dearly. And while I don't push carelessly for change, when I see the possibilities in individuals, families, and organizations, my role is to empower those folks to fulfill their potential and reach their goals. And I don't see my role or my job as giving advice. I see it as creating an environment for change. And the level of change I've focused on is in the family and in work teams. But my passions and my caring go beyond those very vital social groups. I care deeply about our society and our planet, And both of those are at serious risk right now. So let's talk first about our society. There are several things going on that make us less thoughtful, less empathetic, and less of a democracy. And yes, we are becoming all of those things. A recent article reports that empathy among college students is significantly lower than in previous generations. Is it social media and constantly needing to focus on making ourselves look good? Are our relationships more superficial, and are we truly connecting, listening, and supporting each other less? The other social challenge I see in virtually every family with a teenager is the ubiquitous presence of video games and YouTube watching. It distracts, it compels and addicts kids, and interferes with their focus, their creativity, their problem solving, and their connecting. And I don't need to tell you that it interferes with teen cooperation and family participation. And then, of course, there's what's happening at the highest levels of government. The current president doesn't model empathy or thoughtfulness or fairness. Quite the contrary. He models divisiveness, rudeness, bullying, and arguing without regard for the truth or facts. It's amazing. He just makes stuff up. He is a horrible role model for our country and for our youth. During the presidential campaign and since, the mental health of folks I see has gone down. Bullying in the schools has gone up. Folks are on edge, and they're worried that we don't have a stable, fair-minded individual making critical decisions that affect the health and safety of our country and, to a large extent, the world. Many are worried and even ashamed that we are no longer a beacon of hope and an example for the world, that instead we care only about serving our own short-term interests at the expense of our longer-term interests and social justice. Of course, I even question whether we're serving our short-term interests either. Now, all this hurts and to a large extent has left us feeling helpless and disempowered. None of our country's social problems are being productively addressed, at least at the federal level. There's a ton of work going on by very special people, but not at the federal level. Healthcare is down. Middle class standards of living are stagnant. Addiction is up. Wages are stagnant. Economic growth, corporate profits, the stock market, up, at least for the time being, until the impact of the trade wars finally sets in. And this growth is benefiting the upper 10% of the wealthy Americans. And, of course, the budget deficit, the thing that conservatives care deeply about, is up. Explain that one. Respect for women and empathy for sexual abuse that so many children, teens, and women endure, down. Corporate influence on our elections and, therefore, policies that negatively impact our environment, our health, and our safety, up. So it's no surprise that we're on edge and we're deeply worried. So, okay, all this sucks. We just need to have an election and change this, right? Wrong. Some things can't be changed, and when we've made the planet uninhabitable, there will be no going back, and we'll be at the mercy of our prior decisions. When we need to change our behavior today to have an inhabitable planet tomorrow, what will we choose? The United Nations scientists have recently released a report that conservatively estimates that we have 10 or 12 years to dramatically reduce our carbon emissions and keep global warming to somewhat manageable levels. What will we choose? Now, a few years ago, I went on an African safari vacation and had an amazing time watching the many beautiful beasts in their own habitat. Now, these are animals that would most likely be extinct if it weren't for the efforts of many concerned environmentalists and the policies of many nations, and it was wonderful being there and enjoying them. One thing that impressed me was how much like ourselves, these great beasts are. The elephants in particular were abundant in the game parks I visited, and I was struck by how similar they are to us. They live in communities, they play and they care for their young, they protect their young and each other from danger, they look for food and they eat together, they play and nurture each other. Elephants form lifelong relationships and they grieve their losses just like we do. Or is that we form long, lifelong relationships and grieve losses just like they do? It impressed upon me how much like other mammals, such as elephants, chimps, gorillas, dolphins, and other smart mammals we are. The main difference is that we have a neocortex that allows for abstract thinking. We can make plans, predict outcomes, build powerful weapons that make us more powerful than any other mammal, and gives us the ability to blow each other up and destroy our planet. In the past, we've made some good choices and some choices that don't work out so well. But when a decision didn't work out so well, we could make a new decision to make things better. For instance, when in 1929, when the U.S. stock market crashed and we used austerity measures to cope with it, and it turned out that austerity only made things worse, well then, in 2008, when we hit the housing crisis and the stock market lost a third of its value, we knew to come out of that economic crisis, we would need economic stimulation, not austerity, and a long-lasting depression was avoided. Many folks are still suffering the consequences of that crisis, but the economy has recovered. Now, the problem today is that with global warming, if we don't make the right decisions today, there's going to be no correcting it. We can't make a big mistake and correct it next time. If we hit a tipping point, and the scientists tell us that we aren't far from that point, it will be too late to make a better decision. The time is now. Now, every economist I read, and I read conservative and progressive economists, from Paul Krugman to Robert Samuelson, and they all say the same thing, that the only way to seriously reduce carbon emissions is with a carbon tax. When carbon-producing energy is expensive, we'll use less of it, and then use, develop, and grow alternative energy sources. When it makes economic sense, we get motivated. So, what does all this have to do with my logo with elephants, and what does it have to do with your family? Well, let me explain my elephant logo. We need to remember that we are mammals on a planet with other mammals, and we have the power to destroy them and drive them into extinction or protect them and share the planet with them. We are mammals with the option to use our capabilities wisely and for good or unwisely and destructively. We have the capability and are at serious risk of destroying life as we know it for all forms, including ourselves. I want to share a famous quote from a Native American chief, Chief Seattle. And the quote is, "If all the beasts are gone, men would die from a great loneliness of spirit, for whatever happens to the beasts also happens to man. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of the earth." Very wise. So my brand honors one great beast framed in a beautiful African sun to remind us of who we are and to remind us of the gift of life on earth with the responsibility of using our capabilities wisely. So now you may be asking, what does this have to do with families and mental health? Well, here's what I think is important for families at this critical time in our society. We have to take responsibility for articulating and living our values and not allowing ourselves to be disempowered by technology or politics. We can't let our teenagers live on the internet, only play video games, and avoid connecting with their parents and each other. We need to talk about the challenges we're facing as a society and offer our children and youth ways to make a difference. Maybe we make some changes in our home about how we use energy, or maybe use the car less. And of course, that's not going to save the planet, but it will teach awareness and values and taking responsibility. It's empowering And when we take action, we get empowered. We've got to encourage kids to take leadership positions in their social groups, whether it's at school or church or a sports team. Even at home, they can lead there when they have a complaint about something they don't like. Empower them to work with you to solve it. When they have an idea, help them implement it. That way, we'll raise conscious, engaged, empowered kids. We could ask them, how can we make a difference? What can we do? And see what they've got to say. They'll have plenty to say. So listeners, I would like to reassure you that I'm not turning this into a political or an environmental podcast. I'm going to go forward answering your questions about relationship challenges in your families. That's what I've spent 40 years studying, learning, and practicing, what I've written a book about, and what I'm best able to offer. Yet, even though I'm not a politician or an environmentalist, I need to add my voice to the voices and actions of many others who are sounding the alarm and working to make a difference. Whether you're an engineer, a doctor, or a contractor, it doesn't matter. We can't sit back and fiddle while Rome burns. We need to bring our engaged, empowered selves to our democracy and our planet. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and tolerating this raw version of myself. If you have a relationship or a behavior question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your questions, so come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, of course, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And I'd like to remind you all to please take care of yourselves. You know you need it. Do you know you deserve it? You know something? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.